Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki, Jacob, and Bree. How are you three doing?
Doing all right.
I built a gunpla today. I am happy.
You know, this time I don't care because we have a guest and I'm not going to let you talk about gunpla. What do you think about that?
You never do.
No, sometimes I let you go, but no, not today. We have other stuff to talk about. We have a guest joining us. Graham Reed, game developer known as Graham of Legend, developer of Super Space Club, which is launching on Xbox, I believe. Is it launching on all consoles or just Xbox?
It's launched on Xbox and on Steam already.
And for the people who don't know what Super Space Club is, give us the sales pitch. What is this game?
Super Space Club is essentially really dope, chill vibes meets hectic, endless space shooting. And I can't even stress the vibes enough. Like, it's just pure vibes.
It's a really entertaining game. I'm having a really good time with it, but it is kicking my ass. I'm I think the furthest I've gotten is on wave 4 so far. I've completed the mission 1. I've completed all those missions. So I'm working on the right set for mission 2 now. But this game is just wrecking me. Like, my brain trying to manipulate the thrust and the recoil at the same time. It's really cool, but it's really like trying to wrap my brain around. I'm old, so like new things are hard for me.
I mean, but I feel like I made it for everybody, but more so with quote unquote us in mind. Like, I'm not that old, but yeah, I made it for like people who played arcade games and played games in the 90s, you know, like the older stuff, relatively.
Yeah, this game reminded me a lot of, what was it, Asteroids or something like that? I think the game was called.
Yeah.
Reminded me a lot of that. Very difficult, just like that game was. I'm bad at this. Really bad at this. We're not going to say where I got to because it's embarrassing.
You didn't even pass wave 1, did you?
No, I got past wave 1.
Okay. All right.
It was wave 2.
We're not going to talk about that.
No, I mean, like, I think it's pretty interesting because, I mean, like, unlike Asteroids, like, you actually include in there the physics of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you fire the gun, like, you're gonna go backwards, and so you have to use the engine to compensate for that kind of stuff. There was one of these kind of shooters back in the 90s called Escape Velocity, where you had to do a lot of that kind of stuff. And so for me, I struggled for a bit, and I'm still struggling, but I struggled for a bit, like, to recall, like, those memories of, like, how, like, because I used to kick butt at that game quite a bit, and it's like those skills that for this kind of game you really don't see that often anymore. So I, you know, as difficult as it is, I do appreciate the attention to physics on that kind of stuff.
Thank you. I feel like I spent most of my time trying to figure out the balance of the different ships and their thrusters, and then just how the weapons affect that. Because I don't know, I wanted you to just enjoy flying around and, like, traversing with the physics, but whether it's your thrusting or you're shooting around the place.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, that's one of the things that you have to balance too, is like, I mean there's situations where it's easier just to fire your weapon and make yourself move backwards than it is to, like, you know, right, like get the engine going and turn yourself just the right direction. It's just like, yo, I'm getting out of here and maybe I can take a couple of people with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've gotten into doing figure eights where I'll outrun them, turn around, do a figure eight move, or just do a turn move, start shooting at them while still thrusting, clearing through them, spinning back around, yeah, completing the figure eight, and just like looping back and forth and
that's
picking
how I
them off.
To play it too.
Yeah, it's like a dog, like dogfighting, but in space, right?
And I love the fact that when explosions happen, the enemies could get damaged by them.
I never noticed that. That's interesting.
Yeah, like blow up an asteroid, and if a ship's close enough, it'll get hit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely an accident. I was like, ooh, I'm keeping this.
How did that happen? Like, how was it
felt,
an accident?
It felt too nice.
Story there?
Oh, I mean, because I think I just had the wrong thing. Like, it was supposed to... I think it's only, I said it's only hurt the player, but then it also hurt the enemies. I'm like, oh, this kind of feels nice. It's cool to, like, line everything up and then kind of kill them with each other or with asteroids. Like, if they fly into an asteroid belt and then you blow up asteroids and they die too, it's like, oh, this is really satisfying. So then we just leave this in.
I think it was a good
doesn't
move
feel
to
too
keep
cheap
that
or
in.
Anything, you know?
It adds a nice bit of strategy to the game where you can lure them into a bunch of asteroids and just pick off the asteroids because they're bigger than the ships. And then the explosions just chain and take out the enemies. So when did development on this game start? What are the origins of this game?
Oof. Too long ago. So it started back in 2019, a distant time. But I had a full-time job then, so it was kind of just a nights and weekends project. I didn't really have a plan for it. I just wanted to make something cool. It's also my first... I've made mobile games before, so this was my first Steam game, and definitely my first console game. And so, yeah, just kind of started. I'd initially planned to make three different games, like a sequel, like three sequels, or a trilogy, I should say. But then somehow it just kind of ballooned into this one big game. And yeah, it just kind of took longer than I expected, you know, because COVID and then burnouts. I left that job. It's a lot of things, but we made it. We're here. You guys have it now.
We do have it now. How did COVID impact the development? Did you have other team members working with you? Was it a solo job? Go ahead.
It's just me and then the brilliant duo called Fat Bart, who did all the music and sounds for it. But honestly, it really, COVID just affected, I mean, it affected everybody, right? But it affected me in that it changed my whole work schedule. Obviously, it affected all of us mentally. And then I also had my first child that year too. So just, everything just happened all at once. And then, of course, the whole Black Lives Not Mattering stuff. Yeah, it's a lot happened that year, so it was definitely hard mentally to just push through. Physically, it was fine. Like I could have finished this a long time ago, but yeah, everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah, I can definitely understand and sympathize with mental stress. I go through my own mental issues as well that have been documented on the show, and you know it's a struggle, and we've got to be there for each other and support each other, and it's good to have something to put your heart and your soul into to keep you going. This show is what keeps me going, honestly. And I'm glad I have this support system around me to keep this show going. And I'm glad that I have people like you coming on the show to chat about games with me. So that's always fun.
We're supposed to support you? What?
Just play along, Aki.
Okay, yeah. All the support, totally.
Aki gives us about as much support as Joe's bra.
Yep.
Womp, womp. tell us about some of the unlockables in the game. I've unlocked the first special weapon, which makes the game significantly easier. I've gotten much further since I've gotten that homing shotgun, so thank you for putting that in the game. tell us about some more of the unlockables and some of the pilots and ships and guns.
Yeah, I mean, so the whole loop of the game is that, you know, you go through, try to defeat not all the ways because it's endless, but try and defeat as many ways as you can, and then collect the stardust on the way, and then you die. Or you just miss death, I should say. You lose, but you just escape death. You blast off. And then when you get back to, you know, the menu, the hub, then you can unlock all the different characters, ships, and weapons. There are like five of each. And so it's a like over 100 different combinations you can do, you can play around with. And yeah, it's just, I wanted to, it would have been fine to just have it just the default three that you start with. And it would have been a fun game, but like, I don't know, I was heavily inspired by, I don't know if you've ever played a game called Luftrausers by Blambert, but it was a lot like this in the sense of you could change your, I think in that game you change your weapon, your the ship's body, and then the ship's thrusters. And I just found that really cool, a cool way to just have your own level of customization to it. But yeah, and then it's some of the things you find are standard, like you have your regular pew-pew gun, and then like you said, you unlock the homing missile. But then some of the weapons I've never really seen in that game before. Like there's the last one you can, well, you can unlock them in any order you want as long as you have enough stardust to unlock it. But the most expensive one is called the firework, which as it sounds, you shoot out a big blast and then it bursts into smaller ones, you know? I've never seen that as like a default weapon, only if it's something like a, like one of those games where you can like a Vampire Survivors kind of thing where you just have all these random quirky upgrades. And yeah, the really same cool. thing for all the, thank you. the same thing for all the weapons and the, all the ships and the characters. So it's just took inspiration from everywhere. And I kind of let the game dictate what it should be. I just kept played around with things. And then whatever felt right, just stayed in the game, I guess.
Was Vampire Survivors an influence in this game with all the upgrades? And
it was not.
No?
This game predates Vampire Survivors, which upsets me because that game changed everything.
It really did. It's basically spawned its own genre and like all these knockoffs. Yeah. And it has people like me asking games that were originated before it if they're inspired by it. And then I look like an asshole. So that's fun.
No. You honestly, like after it came out and after I played it, I really thought if I should kind of add some of those, you know, just like how every run you kind of upgrade. So if I thought about all that, but then ultimately I was like, you know, no, this is not the game I wanted to make. It would have been fine regardless, but it's just not what my vision was. And who knows, the game might not even be out right now. You know, it would have taken even more time to just kind of make that pivot. So.
Yeah. So, when did the game first release on Steam?
It released last August 4th, 2023.
And how's the reception?
It was supposed to be like Steam. A day and date thing, but then again, just like burnout and stress. And also, porting is hard. So, yeah.
How was the reception on Steam and what made you want to bring it to Xbox?
Reception was good. I think because of the price points and also just because of Vampires, more so because of Vampire Survivors and all the survival likes, I think it just set different expectations for people. And so now people just want more games like that, or just want to play those games, like the you know, the Brotatoes and the Vampire Survivors and what have you. But then the people who did play, people who did actually get into it, they really got into it. So it's like a very narrow but deep pool of hype. Critically acclaimed, but not the mass audience I was hoping for. And then in regards to Xbox, I'd always planned to, at least from 2020, I think I'd planned to put an Xbox, because I was talking to idea Xbox people. And yeah, that's just been the plan. And then they've been really, even though it's not easy to port, they've been really helpful just to help developers get things onto their game, onto their consoles, you know?
What's the experience like working with the ID team?
It's great. Like, they're really responsive. You can tell they're passionate about just games. Like, I remember the first person I met with, she had left to go to a different company. But when I was talking to her, she was like, oh yeah, she was a big gamer. She told me her whole background of gaming. And it's like, oh, these are, it's not like stuffy business people. It's just like us, just regular people who love games, play games, and want to see your game shine on their platform, you know?
That's very cool. Also very cool is the fact that our friend Burger Thing just subbed to us on Twitch. Big shout out to you, Burger Thing. Enjoy the emotes. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thimber is in chat right now mentioning that they are really enjoying their time with Super Space Club. They won it the last episode that we did, and it seems that they're really enjoying their time. Do you have any message you would like to pass on to them about the game?
Who, me? Yo, they must have been here from like 2020. They've been following the game. So it's like, thank you so much for still for sticking around and being here. Yeah, for sure.
So what other...
Yeah, like on all the platforms, even like Hive, all the random platforms, they must have been there.
What is next with Super Space Club? Are you done with the game? Are you going to bring it to other platforms? Are you going to look at adding content to the game?
It's a tricky question. I want to say I'm done with it just because it's like it's taken up so much time and I want to make new things. And also just because it didn't do as good as I'd wanted it to. I feel like it's just weird to continue working on it, even though, I mean, the people who still play it and love it, they'd obviously appreciate it. But then I feel like I could also make something new and they'd appreciate that too, you know? So it's like, it's tricky. If it was more successful, then I would have tried to make more content for it because I have a lot of ideas I didn't end up getting to try out and use. So it's not like I couldn't. And in terms of platforms, maybe. Like, I mean, I'd love to, especially to get on Switch. It's just a matter of, can I get a Switch dev kit? That's the hard part.
Yeah, it seems like that's the platform a lot of people really tried and strive to get to. It's just something about growing up being a Nintendo like fan, sure. Getting your game on a Nintendo system.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a dream. I mean, it still blows my mind that I have a game that's on Xbox. Like, it's weird. But definitely, if I ever want, not if, when I get a game on a Nintendo platform, that's just the ultimate, you know?
Absolutely. I have a lot of friends who are in the dev scene, and so many of them, their goal, whether it's, you know, oh yeah, I had a game on PlayStation, that was cool. I had a game on Xbox, that was cool. Like, I had a game on Nintendo. How fucking cool is that? People just, it's, you know, we grew up with Nintendo. It just means that little bit much more when it launches on a system that you're so familiar with and that you've been gaming on for how many years.
Since that's my first console when I was 4 was a Super Nintendo, so definitely.
I grew up.
It's really nice to talk to people who see, there you go. It's really nice to talk to people who grew up with Xbox though, like that's been their platform. So I'm really happy that I can deliver something for those people, you know.
It's funny, when the Xbox first came out, I was big into PlayStation and Nintendo, and I was like, I don't see why Microsoft has to enter the console scene. I'm not interested, I don't care. And then when I finally ended up getting one for Panzer Dragoon Orta, I've been Team Xbox since. You know, I try to own everything. Well, but
that's the one that switched you.
Yeah. I think the 360 is what really won me over. I got a 360 with Oblivion.
That's one.
And that was just like a whole new world. That Burnout Revenge. Oh, I miss those early 360 days. Uno with the vision camera. Seen some shit in that game.
Yo, Uno was amazing.
I wasn't expecting you guys to say Uno.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I had so much fun
being like all of you
playing that game when I was in college, and I'd be up till like 5 in the morning playing Uno with like some rando halfway across the country. Like, oh man, that stuff was amazing back in 2007.
Hey, that was a whole new world. Playing Uno with strangers on the internet with cameras and headsets. Oh, that was mind blowing at the time.
You guys all played stuff on PC like 5 years before that.
I've never been a PC guy, so.
Oh, see, I was a PC player for a while, and then I got really into consoles for JRPGs, and I eventually just like left PC behind for the most part. Like, I still use PC for some games once in a while if there's just exclusively on PC or whatever. But I really like console because I don't have to update it all the time.
Yeah. I got lazy. Have to worry about if something will work on my console. It just pop it in and it works.
Or it doesn't. I mean, like, we played that King Kong video game. That thing didn't work at all.
I mean, oof. Technically, yeah, true.
Feel bad for them. No, I'm right there with all of you. Like, I've always been a console person. I grew up with a Super Nintendo, and then I got the PS2, and then that was it. I was a PlayStation, still am PlayStation all the way through. Mm-hmm. But then, because of PC, that's what got me into Xbox, because of Game Pass. So I play anything that's an Xbox game, I play on my PC now through Game Pass, which is it's been great.
Game Pass is so good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's unreal. Actually, that's the dream, a little bit more than Nintendo, getting on Game Pass.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know how that stuff works. That could actually lead us to news. Is there anything else you want to talk about with the game before we move on to news tonight?
Yeah, I mean, everybody listening, everybody in chat right now, if you haven't gotten it, go get it. Go play. Go watch people streaming it. Just go enjoy the content. I made it for you. It's a really chill game. It's also very hard.
But how much is it?
It's $14.99. You can get it on Xbox, of course, and then on Steam. And importantly, if you don't, you know, if $14.99 is too high for you, that's fine. I get it. Times are hard. Go wishlist it. Because then it'll be on different sales at different points. And then, you know, then you can get it. So go do that, please.
As long as people play it, right?
Exactly.
Getting the game out there and enjoy. I'm enjoying it. I am also enjoying Game Pass. We can get on the news with a lot of Game Pass news. A bunch of games joining Game Pass this week. This week alone, we got Super Hot, Mind Control, Delete, Lego 2K Drive, Little Gator Game, and EA Sports PGA Tour. All on Game Pass this week.
Little Gator Game is so good. Play it.
Is it?
I didn't know that was coming to Game Pass.
Enjoy that game so much. It was like, I found it at a time where I was just really like down and needed a pick-me-up, and it was just absolutely a joy to play.
Easy 1K, hard 1K.
Pretty easy. It's pretty darn easy, but it's just a joyful little game.
You won me with pretty easy.
I'm installing it now. I'll give it a go.
All right.
it took me a solid 10 seconds to figure out what you're talking about when you said a 1K, because I've only ever heard people talk about getting the platinum.
There's
it's like 1K. What's talking about? Oh, here. Achievements. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on the trophy hunter side, but same same coin.
Same addiction, just different name.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Addiction is the correct word for it too, shamefully, but...
Oh, I had a friend who shared her trophy status with me, and she had like 500 platinums.
Nice.
Oh.
That's just insanity. It's commitment. So many. I mean, I know how easy it is to complete some games these days. That's the only reason I'm at a million gamer score right now, but...
Yep.
Is it weird to have 500 completed games? That doesn't sound weird to me.
Well, that's because you complete 100%? Everything.
Yeah. That's a lot.
He goes out of her way to complete everything. Didn't you complete Master Chief Collection?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And how many achievements are in that game? Yeah, there you go.
I try to complete everything.
And that's on top of completing each individual game on its own, even.
Absolute insanity.
A little over half of everything I've started. That's a lot, considering how many games I've played on Xbox.
Obscene amount of games, yeah.
I don't complete that many. I don't care enough. Some of them I will, but part of me wants to complete the show this year, just because I'm so close.
Do it!
I have five achievements left in the game. I got the one that's been hounding me.
Yeah.
I thought you meant this podcast, and I was just like... Well, geez. I mean, that's a way to tell us. By the way, I'm just going to wrap up the show later this year. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
That would have been so good.
Guys, something else to do.
If the podcast had achievements, what would they be?
They'd all be 0.1s. Get the fuck out of here.
No, they wouldn't be 0.1s. They'd be like 1, 3, 7, 4.
They would all be weird numbers.
Hate everyone.
They would all be weird numbers.
And when you got them all, it still wouldn't equal 1K. It'd be like 1,212 or some bullshit. Joe's a fucking monster. Infuriating. The fuck is wrong with you?
Plenty.
See, you don't have that dilemma on PlayStation because it's just bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. There's no numbers.
This is true.
It's delightful.
I really should have gone PlayStation, shouldn't I have? Oh, well.
I like numbers.
I like weird numbers, too.
I like numbers when they all add up correctly and it comes out to a nice, even number. I have a bunch of games on my list that I've 100%ed that are like 1,230 achievement score, and it pisses me off every fucking time.
I was really brave, and I played one of those games with super weird achievement numbers last night. I'm proud of me. I also totally 1K'd it, so it was fine.
Nice. Never mind.
Yeah.
I feel like now I'm going to go back and add content to Super Space Club just to add one more achievement that's worth 5. You're 1,005 points.
Monster.
I think it's 7. 1,007 points.
Joe, I will kill you. Stop giving bad suggestions.
That's my idea for the episode. Name the achievement
after the podcast. There you go. So everyone knows whose fault it is.
Blame SML. Bloop. 7 points.
Hashtag.
Oh, man. Let's see.
Blame. Fuck that.
Next week on Game Pass, we are getting Kona and Botany Manor on the 9th.
Yes. Yes to both.
Nice.
I know you're excited about Botany Manor, yeah?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Also, Kona's good. It's a
puzzle game. I feel like I've played Kona, but I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Isn't it a survival game?
It's kind of a survival game, yeah. I did the review for the sequel, which the sequel was fabulous.
I didn't know there was a Kona 2.
Kona 2 Broom. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I was the first to complete it on Xbox.
Very cool.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot.
April 11th, Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition is joining Game Pass.
Nice.
And then the week after, on the 16th, Harold Halibut is joining Game Pass.
Yay!
And then that should be the same week that we get our next Game Pass update, so it leads right into it.
Nice.
Good stuff. Not all good, though. A couple of games got to leave Game Pass. A lot of horror games leaving Game Pass. Amnesia Collection, Amnesia Rebirth, Soma, and Back for Blood are all leaving. And then Research and Destroy and Phantom Abyss are both leaving as well.
That's some damn good games. That's a shame. Yeah.
Soma is a pretty short one to complete. I would highly recommend it. It was a good game. If you're looking for one thing out of that list that you're like time crunch on, like that one's completable in the time you've got easily.
Yeah, that's like a 8-9 hour game, something like that.
Yes, so it's like 8-ish hours. Yeah,
it's doable. Let's talk PlayStation Plus. The lineup for April was announced. 3 new games joining the PlayStation Plus lineup with Immortals of Avium, Minecraft Legends, and Skull the Hero Slayer all joining the lineup.
Nice.
Okay.
Weird to see Minecraft Legends.
Fair.
But cool lineup. A lot of people are complaining. They're like, Immortals of Avium, like, everyone shat on that game. Minecraft is the opponent's game. How dare they give us that? And then, I don't know, people just like to complain, I guess.
Yeah. PlayStation people are funny about the Minecraft one, because, like, Minecraft was one of the best-selling games on PlayStation for a very long time.
Oh, it still is.
Best-selling games everywhere for a long time.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I own it in multiple places, and I don't even like that game.
That's not the only Xbox love, though, because there's a bonus Overwatch 2 Mega Bundle for PS Plus members.
Ooh,
cool.
Good stuff there. And then game catalog updates. We usually get those later on in the month, but 2 games were announced as joining the catalog this month. And they're both launches. Dave the Diver will launch to the game catalog on the 16th.
Yes.
Ooh.
And Tales of Kenzera Zao will launch on PS Plus on the 23rd.
I've never heard of that one. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't heard of that one?
Immediately.
No.
Oh, Aki.
Amazing.
It looks good.
Do you know the new Prince of Persia game?
Yes, I reviewed it.
There you go. It's that, but like heavily African influenced.
Oh, okay. Now I think I do recognize it then. Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be sick. Can't wait.
That's really cool that those two are joining PS Plus on launch. I love when they do that stuff.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Good games too. So let's see what else. Gearbox has been sold by Embracer to Take-Two for $460 million. They're working on a new Borderlands game at the time. Take-Two gets three Gearbox studios, with the main Gearbox studio, Gearbox Montreal, and Gearbox Quebec. They get the Borderlands and Tiny Tina franchises. They also get Duke Nukem, Risk of Rain, Homeworld, and the Brothers in Arms franchises.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that they're finding a home again, but... Embracer, man, just...
And Embracer was like, oh yeah, we're done with our restructuring, so we're not going to focus on absorbing any companies for now. How about you just stop for good? Because the last time you went on an acquisition spree, you kind of like tanked a whole bunch of studios.
Fucked everything. Yeah.
Poor Volition.
Yeah.
Let's see. Illfonic is taking over publishing of Predator Hunting Grounds from Sony and will be releasing the game on PS5 as well as Xbox later this year.
Nice.
The Predator Hunting Grounds is jumping over to Xbox. Illfonic will be publishing it.
Okay. Not bad.
And Seasoft confirmed that ArenaNet is working on Guild Wars 3. So that's cool.
Okay.
We got some sales figures. Dragon's Dogma 2 has already sold over 2.5 million units.
Nice.
A lot of people buying that one. And then Unicorn Overlord has already sold over 500,000 units. I'm guessing about 17 have been on Xbox.
I don't even know what that game is.
The Atlas Vanillaware game that came out recently.
Okay.
I was excited for really it. Cool. I think I'm the only one on the show who cared about it.
What game was it again? I've
Unicorn Overlord.
Yeah, that was not something I thought I could even play, so I ignored it immediately. The coloration in it.
You should try it. There's a demo.
Okay, I will try it out on Steam today.
Okay. Happy? Why try it on Steam? There's a demo on Xbox. I don't think it's even on Steam.
Really? I'm shocked. Yeah. That hurts my soul. Oh well.
Yeah, it's not on Steam. So there you go. Okay.
Not on Steam. That's so strange.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't think Vanillaware has ever put a game on Steam. This is their first one on Xbox, too. So
just the fact that they're branching out. It's literally coming to everything except for Steam, which is crazy to me. Usually, if you're putting it on everything, it's definitely on Steam, too.
Yeah. Anyway, a little bit of bad news. Ubisoft has laid off another 45 employees. No real details, but there's more. And then Certain Affinity has laid off 25 employees. They are a support studio that has worked on games like Halo, Left 4 Dead, Call of Duty, Hogwarts Legacy, and many more. 25 employees let go there. I hope that the layoffs are done. I'm so tired of reporting on layoffs and closures.
Yeah.
They're never going to be done, because that's a good way to make a company look like it made a bunch of money by, you know, getting a lot of money and then firing everyone you would have had to have paid.
But that is the news I have. Aki, any news? Bree, any news?
The only thing I have is that the Xbox Spring Sale's live.
Ooh.
I got something off of that. I got Lost in Random, I think is what it was called.
Okay.
Can't wait to see how much money I'm going to lose on this sale.
There's over 900 things on sale.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot to paw through.
Yeah, thankfully, I've only got like $9 in Xbox credit. So,
yeah, I got like my 12 choices.
Yeah, my choices are limited.
Ooh, Rage 2 is $8. I might get that.
I have it on disc, I think.
So do I, but I could get rid of the disc.
I mean, you could do that anyways.
But then I wouldn't have the game.
But isn't it on Game Pass?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on Game Pass. It's a Bethesda game, I thought.
Yeah.
Is Rage Bethesda?
I think so.
Yeah, pretty sure. I don't know. I don't have a computer open right now. So
I'm old. I can't remember things.
Yes, you are.
Hey, listen here. Don't make fun of my age.
I'm not. I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay, that's fair.
After all, the older supposedly apparently wise to some degree.
I am nowhere near wise. Don't put that evil on me. Bree, what else?
Well, that's all I had, really.
All right, Jacob, any news?
Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie watch. The only real news about it is that filming has ended and Sonic fans are declaring war on the Lion King prequel that apparently is going to come out the same exact day as Sonic 3.
There's a Lion King prequel happening?
Yeah, they're making...
It's a Lion King prequel? What?
Yeah, it's going to be another one of those CGI films and it's about...
Oh, it's going to be a monstrosity. Oh. Okay.
Aww. Yeah, pass.
Yeah, no one's going to war against that. Just, it's so trash, no one's going
to. I like how everyone was like, oh, there's going to be a Lion King prequel? Ooh, what? Huh? It's going to be CG? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I got so excited. If it was going to be like a modern day Disney 2D Lion King, are you kidding me? Like, young Mufasa, come on.
Yeah,
I think if they did anything that was 2D, people would just gobble it up. But all these 3D live action things are fucking miserably bad.
All right, old lady Aki, just get back to bed and go watch your Matlock.
Can I just say
Matlock was good? Fuck you.
I cannot watch the opening sequence of The Lion King without crying. Which there's one? Like two movies, the original Lion King. Okay, like there's like two movies that like the opening sequence just like instant tears. The other one is Nazca.
Okay. I haven't seen that one.
What about Up? Not Up? Really?
I was going to say Up is the only one.
Up
I think
is
of,
like the one to make people cry. Bree, have you seen Up?
I've seen Up. I don't think it is insta cry for me. But the Lion
what
King
the
totally
hell
just
wrong with you. You monster.
I don't know.
All right, but the opening of the Lion King, it's
not just like I know what's coming, and so like it's not the very beginning of the movie that like makes me cry. There's other parts of Up that'll make me. But like the Lion King, the music comes up, and I'm just like,
all right, hold on. So we are clear, the sun rises, the dude
and
shouts
the
a bunch
fall.
Of words that we all don't understand, and Bree cries, correct?
Yes. And okay, if I haven't already started crying when the music like swells and then the little baby lion goes up in the air and I'm done.
Okay. Because I was just trying to understand, like, I mean, like, how far into the beginning we were talking. I didn't realize.
The music rises and beginning. I start sniffling. Oh, yeah, no. It's the same thing with Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. That the music starts coming up and I'm like, oh.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Listen, any movies make you cry?
Up is one of the main ones.
I guess you do have a heart.
Yeah. Basically,
breaking news. Breaking news on the SML podcast. Aki has a heart.
I don't believe that.
Tripled, but it is there.
Fake news.
Basically, any movie where a character starts crying really hard will make me cry. I don't have a choice in that. I don't feel bad. I just start crying. I can't help it. So A Silent Voice is another big one. I cry in that numerous times.
It's funny, but there is just so much stuff that makes me want to cry anymore. Like, I'll read a story about, like, a kitten being in the cold and then like someone finding it and bringing it inside and giving it warm milk. And I'm like, that's so cute.
That's because you're a big pussy though.
I'm just so weak anymore. I don't emotionally. I'm so weak. I can't control myself.
You're just surrounded by too many cats. That's
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Meanwhile, like the only movies I cry during are the most manliest movies of all time. Like Saving Private Ryan and The Dirty Dozen. And also my ex-girlfriend and I had tears streaming down our face at the end of Toy Story 3.
Oh, man, that was a hard one.
Oh, yeah.
Go into the incinerator.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I was just like, is Pixar seriously ballsy enough to do this? And...
And the answer is no.
No, they weren't. They weren't. But I was like, oh, man.
I mean, they push us all there. So I think that counts. Like,
I didn't cry to any of those movies. Granted, I don't know the whatever one that had the word dozen in it. I don't know what that movie is. But I didn't cry at the other two at all. Saving Private Ryan is a pretty good movie. If you can sit there for, what, 4 hours? I think that was.
Which one?
Saving Private Ryan. Isn't that like a 4-hour movie?
I think it's 3.
Man, I liked when that used to come on TV every year. Oof, that's a good movie. I love that movie.
Thimber almost cried at the end of What Remains of Edith Finch. Oh, mentioning Pinball News. I forgot the Pinball News. Zen Pinball announced...
Hold on, whoa, hold on. What Remains of Edith Finch. By the way, Pinball News... How the hell do you segue between...
He's old.
Because I'm reading chat. Humility. I'm reading
there
chat.
There are other parts of Edith Finch that make me cry, so...
Speaking of crying, pinball.
What Remains of Edith Finch will use to make a pinball table? Alrighty. Anyway.
So anyway, Zen Studios is releasing a new 3-pack of pinball tables May 16th. It's going to be Knight Rider, Xena Warrior Princess, and Battlestar Galactica.
Ooh. Knight Rider is a kit?
Yes.
Jackpot.
I like all three of those.
Hell yeah.
I only care about Xena.
I wonder if they got William McDaniels to do any voices.
Oh my god, I hope so. I mean, I would accept Val Kilmer, but William McDaniels is really... I would. I mean, if we have to, I'll take Val Kilmer, but...
I'm sure we're just going to get a sound alike. Or what about Lucy Lawless for Xena? That'd be awesome.
Don't get my hopes up.
Let me guess. You have a Xena crush?
Oh, God, yes.
Who doesn't?
Chocolate.
Yeah. When I was young enough to watch that show, I actually had a bigger thing for Gabriella. But really? As I got old, I always thought she was super cute. Nah. And then as I got older, I got more and more into Lucy Lawless. I still think the lady who played Gabriella was absolutely gorgeous in it. But Lucy Lawless is better now, in my opinion.
Good to
know. Have you seen Spartacus with Lucy Lawless?
I've seen some scenes that she's in, but I've never actually watched Spartacus.
You should watch the show. It's a good show. Funny.
It's kind of like
a good show, yeah.
If people are like, oh yeah, this woman in what the fuck was the name of that HBO show that the 8th season sucked on that everyone
Game of Thrones.
Yes, that. It's just like that. I haven't watched that, but I've seen a lot of scenes that lots of the ladies were in.
Yeah.
That's it.
You should watch Spartacus. I think Spartacus ended better than Game of Thrones. I think it's only 4 seasons.
It's three or four, yeah.
Three or four.
Not too long.
Something like that.
Almost anything ended better than Game of Thrones did, from what I understand. So. Yeah.
Speaking of things that gotta end, the new segment has to end. We've got games we gotta talk about for review. Graham, I want to thank you so much for coming on, chatting with us, hanging out with us. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we let you go for the night?
No, I'm probably gonna hang out and listen to you talk about what you've been playing and reviewing.
Yeah, we've got 5 games to discuss there. Feel free to kick around and chat with everyone else hanging out and chilling there. We are going to let you get going so we could focus on reviews. Do you have any final words before you head out?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And please, everyone listening, go wishlist and or buy Super Space Club.
Yeah. Buy it today, kids. Or give it like 20 minutes and we'll do a giveaway in chat. So. There you go. So, all right, Graham, thank you so much for joining us. Have yourself a wonderful night.
Of course. You too.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
All right. Y'all ready for reviews?
Let's go.
All right. Oh, no. First game.
He's going to listen to all of our reviews and find out we really suck at like video games.
We're bad at everything. We really are.
Yeah, speak for yourselves, motherfuckers.
No, we're just bad at everything.
It's true.
everything.
I'm bad at almost everything. There's all a difference. There's a couple things I'm good at. Reviewing games, because I'm good at playing them, and building Gunpla, and eating, okay? Fuck you. I'm good at least three things.
I'm good at eating.
Aki, you also make carbon dioxide, which is necessary for plants to breathe, so you do
four but everyone does that, so I'm not going to count that one.
Dead people don't.
Well, they don't count because they're dead. All right, first game to
talk. They give off even more as their body decomposes, so no.
So they're bigger givers. Jeez, why couldn't...
Exactly.
Our reviews, first game to talk about.
Sorry, we had to stop acting dumb for like 30 minutes, so now it all just spills out.
Yeah, I know.
We have to stand around, yes, the physics in the game. Now we're all just like, boobies.
I mean, boobs are pretty fantastic.
Aki, you love boobs.
Who doesn't?
A couple
people.
Maybe
gay men.
We tried to lure you with boobs earlier, and you didn't hear that either.
But what? Okay, what?
When we were here, and you were, like, presumably comatose for 10 minutes, we were like, where's Aki? I'm like, oh, let me try this.
SML After Dark.
And there was nothing. It was just silence. And then I tried
barbecue sauce all over my titties.
And nothing. It was just the whole time.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So we were all like, hey, Aki.
Go fuck yourself.
Fair.
And you were like,
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
And then I was like, surprise, motherfucker! I'm here.
I like our soundboard way too much. All right, let's get to review. Are we ready for reviews?
I don't know.
Like, I have to stream tonight. Can you hurry the fuck up?
Nope.
First game to talk about tonight is called Open Roads, developed by Open Roads Team, published by Annapurna Interactive, released March 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Long lost family secrets, hints of a hidden fortune, and miles to go before they sleep. Tess Devine's relationship with her mom has never been easy, but they're about to set out together on a journey into the past that they'll never forget. Bree, tell us about your time with Open Roads.
So this is a slice of life story dealing with grief and change and complicated relationships. We have Tess, who loves her dad, but dad is far away since the divorce. Mom doesn't have a good job and now needs to find a way to get a place to live. We start out packing up Tess's room and learning environmentally who she is, and that it's the early 2000s, and you can tell by the technology and the types of things a 16-year-old girl might have around that time. They've been living with Grandma, who recently died, and now they are selling the house out from underneath Tess, voiced by Caitlin Dever, and her mother, Opal, voiced by Carrie Russell. We learn more about their lives as we look through other parts of the house that they're in varying stages of packing. When we get to the attic, though, we find a secret that leads us on a road trip to find answers to a big mystery. The gameplay is mostly you going through the environments and asking Mom about old photos and other things you find. Saying, "Hey, Mom," is the core dialogue mechanic that when you find an interactable object, you can use to start a conversation with Opal. And there are some personality choices that you can make that change the tone of the conversation a little. Like, there's a conversation about college where you have the opportunity to say, like, "I don't want to go," and you can start a bit of an argument. Or you can just go along with the idea, and then it's, like, less of a thing in that section of the dialogue. And there are some good mother-daughter fights, and that kind of fight on a road trip really sucks if you've ever been there, and you're like, "Oh, now we've got all the silence. This is fun." But while we're playing as Tess, mostly, the story is also about delving into the deeper mystery of Mom Opal and her memories and regrets. And, you know, life is complicated, and the story really shows some of that nuance. And I would say that it's a really well-crafted storytelling experience. I was reminded of conversations with my mother over situations I can recall that were very similar. It's a story about family relationships and hard choices in life. While the game focuses on relationships between mother and daughter, it's not just about that. It's about all the relationships, like with dad and friends, and how all those relationships intertwine and influence things. There's another section I enjoyed where you're talking about the teenage best friend of the mother and how they drifted apart after all these years. And you think when you're a kid, like, "Oh, my best friend is going to be my best friend for life." And how do you as a mom, like, tell the story of that without really being a downer? Like, you don't want to discourage your daughter from having these really good, close relationships that could last a lifetime. So it was neat to have like the focus on both characters, because I can remember my idealism at a younger age, but I'm also old enough now I can put myself in the mother's shoes and like feel that disillusionment of life, you know, that just didn't go the way I thought it would. They were both really relatable and well-acted characters. The animation is a little odd. It's a blend of environmental realism with a more cartoony, bright-colored motion graphic style for the characters. It was a bit odd at first, but I kind of started to see it as a juxtaposition between the lively conversations of two people and the reality of their situation closing in around them. It's still really beautiful overall, but there are a few odd things about their choices to make interactions in first person, but then not seeing Tess like sitting in the car seat unless it was pulled out to a front-facing conversation frame. There is a chapter select after finishing the game. You can go back and get any achievements you missed. And I would say the achievements are made in a way that encourage you to explore and get the whole story. And I really liked that. There's a lot of things for you to find and interact with, read, to get this bigger picture of what's going on. And there's multiple locations that you visit throughout the game to that go into like different aspects of the past. It was really compelling to see the story being told through objects in a lot of cases. Yes, you're having these conversations about it, but it's the things that people leave behind. I always find stories like that interesting. And the pacing and planning of how you find objects in the game was done with a lot of care and thought. Solving the mystery of the story was delightful. I think the only real downside for me was that the game was really short. And I really wish that it was a bit longer, because I really enjoyed it.
How much time did you get out of it?
I probably got about 3 hours, and I really took my time, like, trying to find everything. Short. So, yeah.
Well, overall, it's a $20 game. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I love an Annapurna game. I love, you know, I don't always love that price for the time that I spent with it, but I think it was a really quality game. I think it's a very good conversation piece as far as if you're actually interested in playing the game and not just, you know, like blowing through it. It's really well acted. And it's a voice that I think it may not be for everyone, because it is very female oriented. It is very dated in terms of the story it's telling from that time period. But the good news is, if you're on Game Pass, you can check it out now with your subscription, and you don't need to worry about that price tag. You can check it out anyway. And so I'm really glad for that, because I feel like more people will get to check it out.
So play it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how,
I'm saying play it. If you can play it, play it. Because I really enjoyed the story. I really enjoyed the acting, and I thought the conversation that they were having was a really good one to have in this play space.
Cool. Well, the beauty of Game Pass, right?
Yep.
Right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you get going. You pirating tonight?
I am pirating as per the usual.
Which
so
one?
So exciting. Not Skull and Bones.
What? Oh my god. So wild.
I know.
So crazy. Who'd have thought?
No. Yeah, no, I am invested in my Sea of Thieves, you know, that new PlayStation game. just gonna keep calling it that for a little while now. I'm really excited for that launch still. So I'm hoping that people will be playing on consoles, that we'll get some new people to play with. I'm excited for that. So
based on pre-orders, I think you're gonna have a bunch of people joining.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So
all right. Bree, have a good one.
You guys have a good night. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bees.
Next game to talk about is Ender Magnolia: Bloom in the Mist, developed by AdGlobe and Livewire, published by Binary Haze Interactive, released March 25th on Steam Early Access for $19.99, decades after the events of Ender Lilies. I can't do this word.
Homunculus?
Homunonuclei. I'm bad. They roam the land in this dark fantasy Metroidvania, face formidable enemies, and explore a bewitching post-apocalyptic world. Humans and those things, what awaits at the end of their quest for salvation? Find out when Aki tells us about it. Aki, tell us about the things I can't pronounce.
Okay, so This is a side-scrolling game where you play as a young woman, more little girl, I think, realistically, but you awaken in this underground facility that is torn to shit and falling apart, and you're like, well, this sucks. I guess I should get out of here and figure out what the hell's going on. And you start running past weird mutated corpses until you eventually find this weird lady with a sword just stabbed right through her chest. And you're like, oh, hey, this is one of the robot people that we can control. And it talks to you. It's almost out of magic, and it is all sorts of fucked up. So you feed it some of your magic, because you're apparently magic. And she yanks the sword out of her chest, stands up, and now you have an ally to kick the shit out of corpses that are suddenly raising up to kill the shit out of you. And when they say this is early access, right now this is basically a demo. You get about 3.5 hours of gameplay of this. You get to visit 3 or 4 areas, and that's it. For the moment, until the full release, which is, at some point in time in the future, hopefully, possibly, I would suspect. So, in this world...
It says, how long will the game be in early access? Because we were planning to keep the game in early access from approximately 6 months to 1 year, depending on feedback.
Oh, my soul...
The current state of the early access is one village in the first 4 areas of the game, unique enemies and bosses in each area, skill enhancements, shop mechanic, blah, blah, blah. And it looks like the price will go up, obviously, as the game progresses. What are your thoughts on it now? Obviously, it's early. There's months, possibly a year to go on this thing. Is this something that people should invest in now, or is it something that we should just wish list and wait on? What are your thoughts on this thing?
Personally, I liked the look of Ender Lilies, which is the first game. I sadly didn't get to review it because at that time I was swamped with other games, so I couldn't even request it. The moment I heard about this, I was immediately like, I want this game because I want to review one of these. So I'm a little biased. I think, yes, I think it's totally worth getting now, especially since it's going to be much cheaper. If it keeps playing like it does in this demo, it's going to be an incredibly fun game. In this game, you don't fight. The little girl is just a small child. She can't do anything. So she gets homunculuses, or homunculi, I don't know what the plural is.
Homunculi. That's the word I can't say.
I kind of figured. She gets those on her side, and sometimes she has to fight them first to cleanse them of their taint. And some of them are just too far gone and need to be destroyed so they don't kill all the people. So that's all you really get in this part, is she's trying to get to the upper city from the lower city, and the lower city is where all the poor people are, where all the mining's done, you know, where it's the shittiest it can possibly be, and monsters are right outside their doors, versus like the on up high, where there's probably nothing wrong up there, would be my guess. Obviously there's gonna have to be something wrong up there if you're going up there, but you get the picture of how this place is separated. So I'm really enjoying it. I think the combat's really fun. You get 4 or 5 different allies in it by the end. It's interesting. They each have upgrade mechanics for their weaponry and stuff, and you give them a couple different weapons for each one. So I think there's a lot of customization for how you want to fight. And so I think the fighting is really fun. So yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's a fantastic, cute little game so far.
Cool. And sounds good.
I can't wait until they add more, because I want to play more, because the 4.5 hours I put into it just isn't enough at all. I need more. Oh. Anyways, next game.
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is Super Space Club, developed and published by Graham of Legend. Sounds familiar. Released March 27th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $14.99. Super Space Club is a colorful, endless arcade gunner set to the backdrop of chill lo-fi music as a club of skilled misfit pilots defend the galaxy by taking on galactic forces and completing a series of thrilling missions. In space, everyone can hear you groove. Jacob, tell us about your time with Super Space Club.
So Super Space Club is a top-down shooter, very much inspired by old arcade classics like Asteroid, and maybe even like to an extent Defender, but really at that point I'm just naming other arcade shooters from that time period. But it's mostly that, but it also throws physics in with it. And so in case you didn't hear the sorry, I have to call. Anyway, so in case you weren't listening to the interview earlier, one of the things I commented on is that it also makes heavy use of physics with this. And so it's not just like you're in like a little spaceship just going pew, pew, pew all over the place. Like if you fire your laser, it actually moves your ship backwards. And you have to also move your ship with its engines, sometimes to compensate that kind of stuff, while also being mindful of your ship's energy, because both the ship, it only can take so much damage at a time. The lasers only have so much energy, and so do your engines. And all these things can drain it. And so you have to not only be very mindful of your energy consumption and how long it takes for it to build back up, but also all the enemies around you as they keep coming at you in different waves. And I'm not going to lie, this game is hard. It is, especially at the beginning, it's very easy to get killed over and over again. Thankfully, you collect all this stuff, I believe it's called Stardust, that you can earn upgrades for your ship, or like whether you get a different ship or...
different ship, different pilot, or different gun.
Right. And that brings some nice customization to it, but at the same time, it also takes you a while to get there before you can really start earning enough Stardust to be able to purchase any of those kind of things. So unlike, I mean, because obviously we don't want to make, you know, the Vampire Survivor comparisons as the creator, you know, was like, my stuff was out there first. But it's just like one of the things that makes stuff like Vampire Survivor and what was that, Geometry Survivor, is that it's just like they made like the rewards just keep coming, and so you like you keep coming back because it seems, especially early on, it seems like you're unlocking something almost every round. And I kind of wish this game had that too. And granted, you could just be like, well, get good, scrub. But I kind of wish that like it also took a more ease you into, you know, how hard this game is going to be. That being said, I also really like the music. The music was fantastic. And honestly, like the soundtrack should get sold separately.
It is. It's on Bandcamp. We will have a link to the Bandcamp in our show description, so keep an eye out down below and grab that soundtrack. We'll play a song at the end of the show too. So, because I just bought the soundtrack. Graham's hanging out in chat, and him and Thimber linked to the soundtrack, and I just bought it right now. So we're gonna play a song
from
the soundtrack at the end of the show.
Cool. But yeah, like the soundtrack is really chill, which does not match. I mean, so the soundtrack at times will match the action, like your laser fire seems to go along with the beats and stuff like that. But it does not necessarily match like all the chaotic action that is happening. And the game, in my opinion, it never really finds its chill. Like,
just a bit hectic.
It's hectic throughout. It's got a great soundtrack. The gameplay makes sense. It works. It's just like it can't decide if it wants to be a really chill game or if it wants to be one where, like, you know, it's almost bullet hell level. But yeah, like, I had a lot of fun with it.
I can see where you're coming from, and that the game does get a bit hectic for that chill feeling. Like, the music is amazing. The gameplay is a lot of fun. There's just a bit of a disconnect when you want to get that chill factor in there because of how hectic and fast paced the game gets. I would love to see, like, a difficulty adjustment on the game to either make the game less hectic or less bullets or less just something to chill out just a bit more so I could spend more time just enjoying the tunes and blasting away at stuff.
Yeah.
Bram exits chat.
Oh, dang. Did he actually leave?
No, he said, just kidding. Oh. He said, difficulty adjustments are on the short list of things I want to do. So there you go.
Cool.
As it stands, the game clocks in at $15. What are your thoughts on that? And for the people who are interested on Bandcamp, the soundtrack clocks in at $6. Give us your thoughts, Jacob. Tell us what you think about this game.
$15 I'm okay with. I mean, I honestly, I would have, part of me, I mean, I'm cheap ass Jacob. So
yeah, you are cheap ass.
Like, you know, so I'm always like, oh, wait for a sale. I liked it. I wouldn't be mad at $15 for it. Although at $15, I'd also want the soundtrack to be included. But yeah, like, honestly, buy the game, buy the soundtrack. You're going to have a good time either way.
Cool. Aki, any thoughts on the game?
It's so fucking hard. I am so bad at it. I can't like get the shooting and the boosting to keep you in one place, and that's kind of what I need to do well at this, because once I start moving, I can't keep track of anything, and I slam into, if it exists, I slam into it, okay? It's bad. I die so fast. We're not going to talk about how not very far I got into the game, because it's embarrassing.
Because I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
I agree. You are embarrassing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Next game to talk about is Ario, developed by Vata Games, published by Artax Games, released March 28th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $12.49. A fantasy land plagued by nightmares, a common lad trying to rescue his missing mother in an evil forces conspiration. That's not a word, is it? Conspiracy to be unveiled. Join Ario in this thrilling adventure where your crossbow skills will determine the fate of your people. Aki, tell us about your time with Ario.
All right. First off, your crossbow skills don't decide anything. Secondly, you play as a young boy, I guess. I have no idea how old this character is supposed to be. You have a crazy dream where you're wearing this weird gear and kicking the shit out of bad guys. And you tell your mom, and she's like, I don't like you having dreams about war. We're just nice homebodies. We're medicine people. Let no wars. No wars. Let no more wars, please. And you're like, fine, whatever. And you go off to go do some work. And you come back, and your mom's gone, and the house is a wreck. And you're like, well, shit. I guess I better go and sneak into the castle, because that clearly has everything to do with this for no reason. But I know she has to be at the king's castle for reasons. And that kind of logical jump to random conclusions is the basis of this entire game. The combat is, you'll run around and if you have ammo, you stop and you try to shoot with it. It's kind of finicky whether it's going to actually aim and fire or not, unless you give it a bunch of time to do so, in which case then you're getting the shit kicked out of you. There's a bunch of abilities to, like, drop things on people, thankfully, so that gets rid of some of it. Eventually you unlock some more stuff other than just a crossbow, like a suit that lets you dash really hard and allows you to hit things, because apparently you couldn't punch people beforehand. for some reason. And that is one of the most useful abilities ever, is just to be able to punch an asshole in the face and kill them. That's A+, I approve. And I would tell you more about the story, but a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense. Some of the cutscenes, when they start, they mention things. The main character mentions doing stuff for people just now. Like, they just did this. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. That never happened. You were playing. That did not happen. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. It is gibberish. But all the other characters like, well, yeah, but, you know, this other thing. And I feel like they haven't put in the entire game into this. It feels like there's a lot of stuff right now that's missing, be it maybe some extra fights that should be in there that are being referenced in cutscenes that never actually happened. And partway through the game, the cutscenes stop having sound. Like, period. Yeah. Partway through the game, the cutscenes, they stop having any sound. No talking. Anytime the character's moving, there's no sounds of their feet stepping on things. No music. Nothing. It's just silence.
Weird.
And I played through it multiple times just in case maybe something glitched on me or something. I replayed the chapters just to see, okay, well, this chapter is where that cutscene happened. Let's just go replay that real quick. I restarted the entire game and be like, maybe. And no, it just stops. It's 4-ish hours long, give or take, depending on how good you are at the game. It's fairly janky. Not terrible, but it is pretty jank. There's one area where you have to stop guards from executing a guy, and you get this big, heavy crossbow, Well, yeah, basically. One that you would find, like, on top of a castle. You know, kind of like machine guns are on the back of cars. It's like that, but a crossbow variant, basically. and you have to stop guards from executing this guy. If one of them reaches this guy, he dies. One hit. And they just throw a ton of enemies, and you have to be perfect with every shot. Which is very hard. Every time I played through that, I failed 3 or 4 times before I got it. And the thing about whenever you're using the big crossbows like that is, after you fire, if you hold the fire button, you can actually control the arrow, which is really cool. I would really like it if they had more incidences of that in the game, because that was super fun. But you get to move that arrow all over the place, and once it hits something, or you let go and just let it fly straight forward at that point, you zoom back to you, and you can see where it traveled in the air, kind of like the moisture streams for chemtrails, as it's called. It's really cool. I really like that. Everything else about the game is okay-ish. It's not amazing. There's a couple boss fights. One of them, it makes sense until the very end, then you kind of have to figure out how to do the ending blow and the very last fight in the game. It took me a couple days to figure out how to damage the boss in the first place. after I figured it out, it was easy to do, but I thought the game was broken, because it doesn't give you any indication of how to fight the boss. And I was like, I can't do any damage. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
Gee.
So, yeah, it still needs some more time cooking, badly. Yeah. And I just don't feel like, I don't know if they just didn't include everything by accident, or whether they didn't have the time or funds or something to include some of the stuff, but there's a lot of continuity issues from, like, 5 minutes ago and now, and you've been playing that 5 minutes ago section, and things didn't happen. Yeah.
Well, the game clocks in at 12:49. What is your verdict?
On the basis of, is this game fun? Are people going to like this? It's very hard to suggest this. It's very just low middle tier at absolute best.
Because it looked good, like, yeah. Screenshots and stuff. I was I was pretty interested in this one.
Yeah, for achievement whores who are like, I just want easy achievements, this is pretty easy. you will have basically every single achievement by the time you hit the first cutscene that fucks up.
Oh, geez.
Where it stops putting sound in the cutscene, by the time you reach there, you'll have gotten every achievement in the game, I believe. Or it's not long after that, but I believe by then you have them all. So that's like an hour, hour and a half into the game, maybe. So, yeah, for achievement whores, if you have absolutely no qualms with buying a game that's not particularly good, go for it. Everyone else, I would suggest just to pass on this one for now. It's a shame.
All right, well, we've got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Sky Survivors, developed by My Dream Forever and Taz Draperm. I said that right. Published by Desert Water Games, released April 5th on Xbox One and Series X and S, as well as Windows Store for $4.99 per platform. So it's $5 on Xbox, $5 on Windows Store. Sky Survivors is an arena shooter roguelite. Choose from a variety of skills, unlock unique characters and weapons, build Stairway to Heaven, a sky tower, each floor of which gives your character a unique bonus. Create your own overpowered build to survive against hordes of monsters. Jacob, Aki, both of you played this. Jacob, how about you start? What is Sky Survivors?
So, first off, the characters are not that unique. They are your basic fantasy anime girls. Like, you have your dark elf girl. Like, you have, you know, the blonde maiden. Like, you, everyone is fitting a very, you know, standard anime girl kind of thing.
You're an anime girl. And
so what if I am?
He wishes.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
I actually didn't mean for you to like.
Oh, anyway.
Anyway. So in Sky Survivors, you play as this girl who just has to shoot up a bunch of monsters, and like, and they're fantasy monsters too. Like, they're like those gel cube things that run around. Like, there's I don't even know how to describe them. I mean, it's like just like little guys floating around in the air, cacodemon kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just you have to shoot them up, and eventually when you've earned enough points, you can decide what skills you're going to mess with. And you just keep on shooting stuff, and you, and like, there's like little landmarks that you can build up for each level, which then grants you more access to more area that you can run around in and hopefully escape while you're shooting up stuff. And the game can last anywhere from like, I think it's like 11 minutes to like 18 or almost 20. Because yeah, there's three different versions. There's regular, bullet hell, and deck building. I mostly messed around with like the regular version, and very much like Vampire Survivors, there is like a big bad who will pop in if you survive the whole entire game time, and you have to try to beat them. And then, yeah, I don't know what really happens. I did it once, and I don't remember what the heck happens after you beat the big bad guy. But
it just ends.
Yeah, yeah, and then you do it again. You unlock more characters, you unlock more abilities, you unlock more perks, and you just keep going. It's like Vampire Survivor. It's a 2D Vampire Survivors. Like, that's all I needed to hear. It's a 2D Vampire Survivors. I'm like, I'm there. Okay. I beat it on Windows 10. I beat it on Xbox. I bought it on both platforms, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. That's my thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't mind it that much. I felt like the difference in characters really didn't matter all that much. The different guns I thought were nice, and I haven't really built up my skill tree enough to really comment on all the powers that you can, like, permanently unlock, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
they get expensive fast.
They do.
I'll bet. I mean... Because now that we've earned all the crap, you know, we have to stick around to earn the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
The good thing
is if you're into it, achievements can be done in like under a half hour.
Yeah.
Like it's kill so many enemies, collect treasure chests, unlock a new weapon, unlock a new character, unlock a skill tree. And I think that's about it.
Yeah, it's really not that complicated.
So, Aki, any thoughts on the game?
I really liked it, and the best gun is the machine gun.
I went with the shotgun.
Oh, the machine gun. The rate of fire for that machine gun, just, if you just keep getting rate of fire upgrades, that thing is so stupid.
I love how overpowered you can make yourself in the, like, that's my favorite part about Vampire Survivor style games, is how overpowered you can make yourself and just, like, wreck everything. I love that feeling in video games, just feeling like a god. That's what I want out of video games. I want to feel like I'm wrecking everything.
And for anyone who's worried, it's like, oh, you're only talking about guns. There's other stuff. You can, like, get magic in the game. You can also find magic books in the game. There's three different ones, a fire, wind, and lightning.
Swords and axes book. That rotate around you. And like,
yeah, like there's a lot of stuff. Other stuff than just the guns. Just, I personally, for my playthroughs, I found the best option is to get all of the books. Because by the end, if you've gotten all the upgrades for all of them, you get four of each book, basically. And they all fire, like, four or five different shots.
Yeah.
And just alone, that is able to kill basically everything without you having to even fire your gun realistically. It is crazy. So, yeah, it's good. I liked it. I'm still playing it. I got the achievements a long time ago. I've put 2-3 hours into this already. I got the achievements within the first one. I really like this. I'm going to 100% everything you can do in this game.
Nice. Well, it clocks in at $5. What's your verdict?
Oh, hell yes.
Jacob?
Yeah. I mean, at worst, it's a fuck it, why not? But, you know, I'd say it's worth $5.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Thanks to you, Chuckleheads, for being here. Thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing. Big thanks to Graham Reed for coming on, chatting with us about the game and about games in general and about Disney movies making us cry and all that other fun stuff. Super Space Club is available now. Pick it up. $15. We reviewed it. We liked it. Just wish it were a little easier. A little more relaxing, but for $15, I think it's a worthwhile pickup. Music this episode, we are going to play some music from the wonderfully soundtracked Super Space Club from Fat Bard, and then we're done. Do either of you have any final words to end the show?
Nope.
Helpful.
Pinky bananas.
That's not helpful either.
That's what I got, sorry.
You never asked us for helpful things. You just asked us if we had your last words. I don't, so nope.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yo, Cancer, go. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. It's really nice to be in space. It's really nice to see the dark. We met a loving asteroid. The tail is like an ancient spark. I feel like I can see my heart. In universe, I play my part. I feel relaxed with all this space, floating like a pedal pace. Galaxies and dust and gas, used to worry about the cash. Feeling like a cosmonaut, comet on an oval path, darker than a nebula. I float till I'll see what's behind. Used to look up at the stars and say that constellation's mine. Relax your mind and just let go. There's none above and none below. Corona Borealis crown, Minotaur and wedding gown. Could've seen it out of town, away from the city night. Orion's arms reach, light years make the sky speak. Go.
3, 2, 1.
Go. It's really nice to be in space. I feel like I could measure time. I feel like I could not do nothing, and nothing would I even mind. Total clear, moving faster, shining like a chandelier. Growing closer to the closure that was far but always near. Yeah, sort of like a culmination, you can shed a tear. Relaxing at the beach, relax and kick up your feet. It's really nice to be in space. It's really nice to see the dark, the metal of an asteroid. The tail is like an ancient spark. I feel like I could see my heart. The universe, I play my part. Feel relaxed with all the space, floating like a petal paste. Galaxies and dust and gas, used to worry about the cash. Feeling like a cosmonaut, comet on an oval path. Darker than a nebula, I float till I'll see what's behind. Used to look up at the stars and say that constellation's mine. Peace.